Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the second quarter 2015 earnings conference call for Essendant. My name is Rocco, and I'll be your conference coordinator for today. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity for questions. If you require operator assistance during today's call, please press star then zero. Before we begin, the management team of Essendant would like to remind you that the information shared on this call may include forward-looking statements, which are based on certain assumptions. What you hear today may be affected by the risk and uncertainties in the Essendant's business, markets, and the economy. Despite the company's best efforts, actual results may be different from what is said on this call. To understand the factors that may affect these forward-looking statements, please review the cautionary language in yesterday's news release and in Essendant's 10-K and 10-Q filings with the SEC. Also, remember that the information on this call should be considered current only as of today, and the company has no duty to update it. At this time, you can find the second quarter news release along with the financial slide presentation and other information relating to this call on the investors section of the company's website at investors.essendant.com. Shortly after the call ends, an archived version of it may also be found there. And as a reminder, today's call is being recorded for replay purposes. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Mr. Bob Akin, President and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Rocco, and good morning, everyone. With me today is Todd Shelton, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. I am pleased to join you for the first time as the new President and CEO of Essendant. I am truly excited about the opportunity to lead the Essendant team, having stepped into the interim CEO role from our board in early May. Let me start by saying that I'm confident we have solid strategies and a talented team focused on driving profitable growth, gaining market share, delivering consistent cash flow, and value for our shareholders. With that, I'll provide a review of our second quarter results, which we issued yesterday. I'll also offer my initial perspective on our progress against the company's key strategies and early observations from my time in the CEO role. Our second quarter performance was in line with our expectations, so that's a good place to start. We delivered solid growth and free cash flow, proactively managed the expected headwinds in the energy sector, and delivered solid growth in strategic areas of our focus like online, automotive, Jansan, and Breakroom. These results reflect our determined focus in the face of a dynamic marketplace across our categories and channels. Overall, net sales results for the quarter were up 1.6%. Janitorial and break room, which we call facility essentials, grew 3.1%. Our industrial business grew 48% as the benefit of our CPO and Medco acquisitions more than offset the 11.6% organic sales decline in our ORS industrial business. Looking to our online channel, our sales to online resellers grew 4.4% over prior year and now represent 10.6% of total sales year to date. This continued growth demonstrates our unique capabilities as we support our online resellers with a broad assortment of thousands of items that we can seamlessly deliver right to their end users. Gross margin rate for the quarter was 15.8%. Our recent acquisitions, solid margin management, and favorable product mix lifted our rates over prior year. Adjusted EPS was 82 cents for the quarter, compared to 85 cents in the second quarter of 2014. Free cash flow year-to-date was $109 million. That's up 57% over prior year as we worked to more effectively manage our working capital. So that gives you a high-level perspective on the quarter. Todd will provide more insight on these topics a little later in the call. Now I'd like to talk to you about progress against our strategy to position our company to create greater value for our customers and deliver sustained, profitable growth for our shareholders. As you've heard, the three elements of our strategy are as follows. First, strengthen our core business of office products, Jansan, and Breakroom, or the categories we refer to as business and facilities essentials. Second, win the shift to online. And third, expand and diversify into higher growth and higher margin channels and categories. All three elements of this strategy are driving our business this year while also strengthening our company for the future. Even in the face of secular decline in consumption, office products remains a very large category. Looking forward, I believe we have the opportunity to leverage our critical scale and market position to extend our leadership and capture share in the office products category. We expect to continue our successful track record of engaging those resellers who are best positioned to take share over time. Our journey to a common platform is a leading example of how we leverage scale in the office products category. We are making steady progress in implementing the common platform for our business and facilities categories, bringing together our office products, JanSan, and Breakroom offerings. And we will begin physical integration across our distribution network in the third quarter. We expect to complete our common platform implementation across the business and facilities categories in the second quarter of 2016. This implementation will enable us to deliver a simple but powerful promise to our business and facility customers. That promise is one order, one shipment, and one invoice. And as reseller channels continue to blur, this is a powerful value proposition. Earlier this year, we announced actions to lower our costs and accelerate our financial performance. We're making good progress on this front, too. Much of this work is accomplished through our implementation of shared service models. As an example, during the first quarter, we aligned our business and facility customer care and field sales organizations in a shared service model, better leveraging our capabilities and reducing our costs. We also continue to optimize our facility network. During the quarter, we replaced three warehouses in Houston and San Antonio with a shared operating facility in Houston. As we implement our common platform and continue to optimize our network, we strengthen our nationwide next-day fulfillment capabilities. These efforts create more value for our customers while enabling us to improve our operating leverage. This will be an ongoing effort over time as we balance opportunity against relocation costs and existing lease obligations. Our strategy to win the shift to online also continues to deliver results. Here, we continue to demonstrate our ability to drive profitable growth with online resellers, both large and small. Over the quarter, we added thousands of unique products to customer web properties, enabling our partners to provide their end users with better assortment and rapid, accurate fulfillment. And finally, our diversification strategy is about leveraging our distribution expertise to serve a broader range of customers and categories, particularly in the industrial and automotive aftermarket. These diversification efforts added 6.5% sales growth to the quarter, effectively offsetting declines elsewhere as we exited low-margin paper business, managed a volatile ink and toner market, and repositioned our industrial business in response to the energy markets. Our ORS industrial team has taken a number of proactive steps to mitigate the impact of the energy sector by reducing our cost structure and shifting focus to other growing industrial segments. We anticipate that the energy headwinds affecting our ORS industrial business will persist at least through the balance of this year. Consistent with reports from others in the space, we've also seen that general industrial channel demand has declined from prior periods. While the industrial business is an attractive segment for our long-term growth, we have seen this year that it brings with it a higher level of market volatility. We are very focused on taking the steps necessary to shore up the ORS industrial business to address these market dynamics while positioning us for long-term success. We are continuing to evaluate and may need to take more aggressive actions on this front in the months to come. We completed our first year with the CPO acquisition, finishing ahead of expectations. The Medco acquisition and the automotive aftermarket continues to meet our expectations and should only get stronger with the follow-on acquisition of Nestor Sales that we announced just last week. Nestor is a solid business that fits nicely with Medco. This is just one more reason why we are enthusiastic about the growth opportunities that our Medco acquisition provides in automotive aftermarket. And finally, on June 1st, we became Ascendant. Our strategy allows us to think in broader terms about how we serve our customers and, along with our new brand, provides a clear goal to become the fastest and most convenient solution for workplace essentials. This is how we intend to be known in the marketplace. So these strategies and actions will support our efforts to deliver profitable growth and improved operating profit. 2015 is an important year of investment into our common platform, and it sets the stage for progress in the years ahead. And here's a perspective on what the impacts mean. We are now positioned to generate total cost savings of $15 to $20 million per year beginning in 2016. We are also building an operating platform that should allow us to capture share by creating real points of difference in the marketplace. So, to sum it up, here's my perspective on the business and our strategies after 75 days. From a revenue standpoint, we enjoy a solid market position today. We have the opportunity to drive market share across our business portfolio, and we expect to drive profitable growth going forward. On the cost side, the common platform we're working to implement should allow us to simplify our business, making us easier to do business with and reducing our costs. In coming quarters, we will offer more insight on the extension of our common platform into our industrial business and how that would help us to further simplify our business and reduce costs. You know, I hope I've left you with a sense for the powerful opportunities before us. That said, we will continue to face headwinds of secular decline in the office products marketplace and the industrial space as it has become more challenging in past months. We may experience further industrial market erosion in the near term and a longer recovery period from the energy sector as well. But be assured that we are facing these challenges head on and are focused on improving our performance in the coming quarters. At this time, I'm going to turn the call over to Todd to provide more details on our recent financials and the actions we're taking in 2015. Todd?
Thank you, Bob. My comments this morning will include a discussion of the second quarter 2015 results, updated information on previously disclosed repositioning actions in 2015, and an outlook for the remainder of the year. As Bob mentioned, our second quarter GAAP earnings per share were 79 cents, and adjusted earnings per share were 82 cents compared with 85 cents last year. The quarter included costs arising from the repositioning actions we discussed in our first quarter earnings call, resulting in adjustments of 3 cents. I will highlight these details later in the call, and all other data presented will be on an adjusted basis. Let's start our performance update with sales. Net sales increased 1.6% to $1.34 billion, with organic sales declining 4.9%. The benefit from acquisitions was 6.5% as we completed our first year with CPO in May, and from the purchase of Medco, our automotive aftermarket business, from last November. By product category, janitorial and break room, or what we call facility essential sales, increased just over 3% to $368.3 million and accounted for approximately 28% of total company sales during the second quarter. Sales growth remained strong with office products resellers as they continued to expand their share of wallet. The incremental Office Depot business added approximately 280 basis points to the growth rate in the quarter. Moving on to industrial and automotive sales, they increased 48.1% to $215 million and accounted for approximately 17% of sales in the quarter. excluding the impact from acquisitions, organic industrial sales from ORS declined 11.6% from the prior year quarter. Q2 Medco sales, our automotive aftermarket business, continued on a solid growth trajectory, adding $68.7 million to the top line. EPS accretion trends are consistent with our expectations for the full year. We remain pleased with the performance of our automotive aftermarket team and look forward to closing the recently announced Nestor Sales acquisition in Q3. Nestor sells approximately $70 million of tools, equipment, and supplies to the automotive and transportation industries. They offer more than 24,000 branded and private label products from 10 distribution centers. We expect Nestor to contribute an incremental 4 to 5 cents of earnings per share, including first-year synergies, beginning in 2016. As noted in the previous quarter, ORS industrial revenues were down as a result of exposure to energy. Energy revenues continued to weaken in the second quarter, declining from first quarter levels. We anticipate lower consumption levels to persist for at least the balance of 2015. Our safety channel grew modestly in the quarter, while general industrial demand experienced further weakening through the quarter. Our team is actively converting manufacturer direct volume to our wholesale offering as customers work to lower on-hand inventories and source product as sales occur. Overall, the industrial market shows signs of further sequential decline over several quarters before realizing any recovery. In light of the events above, we have proactively adjusted our industrial cost structure to reflect lower demand-driven market conditions and will leverage our shared service infrastructure to preserve our focus on customer service. Now on to office products or business essentials. Total business essentials sales declined 7.3% to $722 million as we took steps to manage overall category profitability. The three categories within business essentials performed as follows. Traditional office product sales declined 11% to $293.8 million. Similar to the first quarter, cut sheet paper sales declined by $33 million in the second quarter as we exited low-margin business. We project this sales attrition to continue for the balance of the year. Net of the anticipated reduction in paper sales, traditional office products declined modestly at 1.6% for the quarter. Our team is focused on leveraging our core operating platform to deliver profitable sales that help offset the unfavorable sales impact as we continue to transition to the second call office products position at Office Depot. Technology sales were down 5.4% to $349.7 million on lower sales in our Mexican subsidiary held for sale and the impact of our second call office products position at Office Depot. Net of these two items, sales were down 1.2% as our team maintained our market-leading position while managing profitability and return. Furniture sales declined 0.2% in the quarter as growth across many of our customers offset the negative impact of the Depot second call position. Across all product categories, private brand penetration was approximately 14% for the quarter, driven by the reduction in cut sheet paper sales and lower penetration in our recent acquisition. Turning to channel data, sales to independent and other resellers increased 3.2% in the quarter, generating 89% of our sales. This was primarily driven by our acquisitions, along with growth from our online resellers. Sales to national accounts, defined as big box office product retailers, decreased nearly 10% in the quarter and accounted for the remaining 11% of sales. This was driven by lower office product sales from our second call position with Office Depot. As Bob noted, sales to online resellers grew 4.4% in the quarter. Our rate of growth decelerated from previous quarters as we took actions with our customers to reduce sales of unprofitable products. These actions are improving profitability for our customers and Ascendant. To help offset these actions, we are collaborating with our top online resellers to add thousands of new products to drive future growth. We look forward to reporting the results of these efforts in the coming quarters. Second quarter gross margin increased 6.3% to $212.1 million from $199.5 million last year. The gross margin rate increased 69 basis points to 15.8% of sales from 15.1% of sales. Acquisitions accounted for $17.4 million and 29 basis points of the increase. Lower industrial and business essential sales reduced margin dollars by $4.8 million. The remaining rate difference of 40 basis points is primarily from lower paper sales, which had minimal impact on gross margin dollars. Moving on to operating expenses. As previously reported, in the first quarter, we announced plans to align our customer care and field sales organizations and streamline our support functions, to initiate the sale process of non-strategic business, Azurdi to Mexico, and to rebrand our company to Ascendant on June 1st. We have adjusted our results to exclude the impact of these pre-tax charges so that you can view results on a comparable basis to last year. Adjusted operating expenses increased to $156.4 million, or 11.7% of sales, compared to $142.2 million, or 10.8% of sales last year. Operating expenses were $14.2 million above prior year, with the CPO and Medco acquisitions driving $12.8 million of the increase, and an additional $1.4 million of common platform project expense. Organic expenses were flat when compared to the prior year, as the team closely managed resources. Adjusted operating income declined 2.9% during the quarter to $55.6 million compared to $57.3 million last year. Adjusted operating margin declined 19 basis points to 4.1% of sales. Interest expense was $4.8 million compared to $3.8 million last year. Turning to the balance sheet, inventory was $875 million compared with $927 million at the end of 2014 and $804 million at June 30, 2014. Year over year, inventories grew 7% and $59 million from acquisitions. The CPO and Medco acquisitions took us into new categories, requiring incremental inventory items to meet market demand. On a year-over-year basis, our organic inventories grew 1.5% or $12 million. Inventories were largely flat from the first quarter. Accounts payable balances decreased $16.1 million from year-end 2014, consistent with our prior quarter balances. Net trade receivables showed further progress, with days sales outstanding ending at 37.6 days, down from 38 days in the prior year. Our team continues to perform well in managing our receivable portfolio and bad debt exposure. Capital expenditures were $6.4 million for the second quarter and $11.9 million year to date. We are making incremental investments in our combined operating and IT platform in 2015 and estimate full-year capital expenditures to be $30 to $35 million, excluding acquisitions. Net cash generated by operating activities for the 6 months ending June 30, 2015, was $120.8 million compared to $78.9 million in the same period last year. As committed in the first quarter, we delivered significant improvement in our free cash flow generation in the first half of the year. In the second quarter, we returned over $20 million of cash to shareholders by purchasing approximately 378,000 shares at a cost of $15.2 million and paid $5.3 million in dividends. We remain committed to returning value to our shareholders through our dividend and share repurchase program. Total debt was $661.2 million at quarter end, down from $684.3 million in the first quarter and $713.9 million at year end. Debt to EBITDA, as defined by our lenders, was 2.41 times at quarter end. This is within our targeted 2 to 2.5 times range as we completed the Medco acquisition in the fourth quarter and we prepare for the Nestor sales acquisition in the coming month. As I mentioned previously, we took actions in the first quarter to accelerate our strategy and financial performance. I would like to update progress on these initiatives. First, our initiative to bring the business and facility essentials onto a common operating and IT platform continues to progress according to plan. We incurred $1.4 million of incremental expense for the project in this quarter, bringing the year-to-date total to $2.4 million. As a result of aggressive cost control and effective internal resource allocation, we are trending favorably against our planned investment at this stage of the project. We anticipate spending $10.6 million in the back half of the year, revising our full-year spend down to $13 million from our previous $15 million estimate. We will begin physical implementation in the third quarter and will continue into the first half of 2016. Upon completion, we expect to deliver $5 to $10 million of cost savings through network consolidation and reduced SG&A expense beginning in the back half of 2016. These savings should accelerate to a full run rate of $15 to $20 million annually beginning in 2017. Over the next couple quarters, we will evaluate moving our industrial business to the common platform, at which point we will share the anticipated timeline and economic benefits. Second, our actions to align our organization to meet customer needs is progressing as planned. We have recognized $6.3 million of the $9 million previously communicated through June 30th. We expect the remaining $2.7 million to be expensed in the back half of 2015. We expect these actions to produce cost savings of $6 million this year for a net cost of $3 million in 2015. We expect future annual cost savings of approximately $10 million beginning in 2016. In summary, and as Bob noted earlier, we expect the combined benefit from our common business and facilities essentials platform and organizational alignment activities to deliver an incremental $15 to $20 million in savings beginning in 2016. Next, we are actively repositioning and pursuing the sale of Azurdi to Mexico and incurred $1.4 million in related charges in the quarter. We expect to realize additional expenses related to this business from foreign exchange volatility, transaction costs, and operating results until a sale transaction is completed. Lastly, we launched our new brand name, Ascendant, on June 1, 2015. We expect our brand to drive incremental benefit for our company as we more clearly communicate our value to customers, accelerate growth, and expand in new channels and categories. We recognize the planned $500,000 of amortization expense in the quarter for the write-down of certain brand name intangibles acquired with our industrial businesses, bringing the total to $11 million for the year. Looking forward, we remain focused on driving modest earnings per share growth in the back half of 2015, but must overcome significant hurdles from the energy sector to achieve our goal. Earnings per share in the first half of the year were 7 cents below prior year due to the energy sector and the Office Depot transition. We anticipate the energy sector headwinds and consumption deceleration in the general industrial market to persist throughout the year and are working to offset these challenges with other actions across the organization. We will continue to demonstrate financial discipline as we focus on profitable growth and to simplify our business. Our goal is to make it easier for our customers to grow their sales and profitability while reducing our internal complexity and cost structure. These moves will anchor us for higher earnings growth in 2016 and beyond. We appreciate your interest in Ascendant, and at this time, we will open the Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, we ask that you please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Our first question comes from Oliver Wintermantel of Evercore ISI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I had a question on gross margin progression into the second half. Can you maybe help us and tell us what do you think the drivers are? How much is mix still a tailwind into the second half and acquisitions, because I know you're lapping some of the acquisitions in the second half.
Sure. Ollie, good morning. Thanks for the question. I would say that the two key drivers you've laid out, we are lapping the CPO acquisition, which did have a significant rate influence positively, but we'll also continue to maintain the cut sheet paper positive margin, and we saw in the quarter that was almost 40 basis points of the shift. So we expect to continue that unless something changes significantly in the marketplace. Recall that has very little shift on the gross margin dollars, though, so we're a bit more focused right now on how we drive those gross margin dollars regardless of that rate.
That makes sense. Thank you. And the second one, if I may, the new brands that you have acquired in 2014, how is that progressing? How are they received? And do you look forward to doing some more acquisitions this year, or are you just trying to position them for this year? Thank you.
Yeah, Ollie, this is Bob. Good morning to you. You know, first I'd say the primary brand shift for us this year was the adoption of the Ascendant brand June 1st and for our business and facilities organization. And that's gone very well. There's a lot of excitement both internally and externally, and I think it conveys the promise that our common platform and ability to serve across a broad range of customer channels, a common set of items, really conveys that promise well. In terms of our acquisitions and the acquisition last year of Medco, as you heard, that's gone very well, and we've got a nice follow-on with Nestor now, and feel very good about the progress there. CPO is helping us to learn more about the online space, which will benefit all of our customer channels over time. And we'll continue to look at acquisition opportunities. As you know, timing is difficult to predict with respect to acquisitions, but, one of our three core strategies is diversification, and that will happen both organically and through acquisitions, and they'll play an important role for us over time.
Thanks very much.
And our next question comes from Dan Binder of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and congrats, Bob, on your new position.
Oh, thank you, Dan.
My first question was with regards to the Q2 spend on the investment spend. Was that at the level that you thought? And then can you give us a rough idea of what the split looks like between Q3 and Q4 on the remaining spend?
Sure. The spend was actually a bit lower than we anticipated because we did a great job of managing the cost structure and using more internal resources than originally projected. We accomplished all the tasks we intended to in the quarter. We simply did it more efficiently than the original budget from early in the year expected. As far as the remainder of the spend, it'll be weighted a bit more towards 65-35, I would expect, third quarter being a bit heavier spend than the fourth quarter.
Okay. And then on inventory, I know you've been trying to work that down. It's, on an organic basis or even on a total company basis, it's still running ahead of sales growth. So can you give us an idea of how much of that is, still able to work down versus, just having to keep the products in stock as you grow the industrial, the pieces of the industrial that are working?
Sure. So let me go through just a basic walkthrough that the inventories were up about $71 million or 8.5%. Of that, $59 million or 7.3% of the growth actually came from the acquisitions we made. Most specifically, Medco was the largest. That left our organic up about 12% or about 1.5%. Continues to be a favorable buying environment. We see long-term the ability to consolidate some of those inventories. Obviously, buying into our most recent Nestor has some commonality with Medco. Over time, we'll see some of those synergies. So our focus remains on bringing inventories into line with the sales growth, but they continue to be opportunistic in the short term.
And then just one more, if I could. On the Nestor acquisition, can you give us a little bit of color on how it's been growing, how its gross margin and operating margin looks relative to corporate average?
Yeah, both. Let's start with the margins. Both the gross and operating are accretive, particularly on a first-year synergy basis. They're accretive to the portfolio, one of our key drivers for acquisitions. And the growth, we think there's an opportunity to actually accelerate the growth in that business as it's similar in many ways to our Medco space. It hasn't been growing as fast as our Medco acquisition, but that's actually part of the opportunity we see.
And, Dan, I would just add this. Nestor helps to build our geographic reach within Medco, and we've got a national business there now, but it helps to build density in some of the markets where we had a little less. And it also gives us some exposure to some new customer channels that we are, very interested in growing within in the specialized commercial space. So, we feel like it, in addition to the top line it brings, it helps to build capability within the Medco organization. There's a lot of nice overlap between the two businesses. So, it's a business that we understand as it comes into the fold.
Thanks.
And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from Brad Thomas of KeyBank Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, Bob and Todd. And Bob, let me add my congratulations as well on the new position.
Thank you very much.
You know, Bob, I think you touched on it in your remarks, but I thought I would just ask the question sort of head on. You know, as you've been in a formal executive role rather than just a board member for the last, you know, 2.5 months, are there any areas that you really think the company should start to change direction from a strategy standpoint?
You know, Brett, I would say this. I believe the overall strategic direction of the company is on point. I think the three elements of our strategy are what will drive shareholder value over time. But I am very focused on driving profitable growth into the business across all of the channels that we serve today. We also want to lower our costs, obviously, and those two things leverage our SG&A. But as we look at points of difference we have around the common platform that we're implementing, around the digital capabilities that we've built and will continue to build, as we work to focus our resources on the strongest players in each of the channels that we serve, so whether that be independent dealers or nationals or the e-tailers we serve, we think there's an opportunity to drive profitable growth across the business and not just in any one channel that we're serving today. So, you know, diversification will be a part of the strategy. It's an important part of the strategy, but, you know, we're not going to overlook the core businesses in which we operate today because we see lots of good opportunity.
Great. Thank you. And then just a couple of follow-ups. Regarding the common IT platform that you'll start to roll out here, could you maybe talk about how that will change from a practical standpoint for the customer and how you all, you know, maybe limit some of the operational risks that may come with this change?
Yeah, let me start by describing the common platform a little bit because I think it creates a context for the second part of your question around operational risk. Really what we've done here is taken our core platform in our office products business and built enhancements into it that are really important to serving business and facilities customers, the Jansan customers, the break room customers, so that a customer can have a seamless experience across all those categories. And so this is a system that has been operating, you know, across our company for a number of years, and it's really a question of bringing our Jansan and break room categories onto the system as opposed to implementing a new system. And so that's what gives us confidence in our ability to execute the system, that and a lot of excellent planning and testing. You know, in terms of the customer benefits that we see, there's a real blurring of the channels going on today with, you know, customers in all of our channels looking to expand their range of offerings. And so this gives them the ability to do that in a much easier and simpler way. I talked earlier about one order, one shipment, and one invoice across a broad range of products. And we think that that unlocks a lot of potential. And I'll tell you, I've spent the last couple of months talking to a lot of customers across all the channels that we serve. There is a very high level of enthusiasm for the opportunity that we're creating for our resellers' businesses, and we think we'll benefit from that.
Great. And then just lastly, on working capital, you all have done a great job of bringing that down and generating cash from working capital. Todd or Bob, how much more opportunity do you think there is here through the balance of the year?
Yeah, I'll take that one. I think that we'll continue to remain focused on working capital in general. You've seen nice improvement in day sales outstanding and some solid performance in our accounts payable. We'll stay focused on inventory. So we think there's still improvement to be had in the back half of the year compared to the prior year, and we expect to be above our historic average rates as we exit the year. So we still think there's some opportunity.
Great. Thank you all very much.
Great. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Brent Rakers of Thompson Research Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Couple questions. I was first hoping you could talk in a little bit more detail about the performance of the acquired businesses in the quarter, maybe give us a better sense of the CPO incremental year-over-year versus the Medco revenue contribution, and then also if you could talk briefly about the operating cost performance. It looks on a sequential basis like the OPEX for these acquired businesses came down pretty substantially, so hoping you could address that.
Sure. Why don't I take I'll start out with the incremental revenue contributions from the businesses. The Medco business was just under $69 million in the quarter of incremental, and CPO, because we anniversaried it in the month of May, it contributed about $18 million incremental before we lapped that full year. And then, I'm sorry, your second question, Brent?
Yeah, Todd, just on the SG&A trend, I want to say in the first quarter it was much more substantial than here. The deals look significantly more accretive, I believe, in this the second quarter than in Q1.
Yeah, exactly. We got into a little bit of seasonality, particularly in the automotive business. So if you looked at the spread between our acquisitions generated about 29 basis points of gross margin favorability and only about 21 basis point increase in OPEX. So we started to see, you know, positive EPS generation from the two combined.
Okay, great. And then just final question. I was hoping you could talk a bit more about the Jansan business. I guess it was a bit disappointed in the growth rate, kind of ex the incremental Depot contribution in the quarter. Maybe if you could also talk about the second half outlook now that you anniversary that in Q3 of this year.
Yeah, we will anniversary Office Depot and the win there in Q3. You know, when we look at Jansan more broadly, we do see opportunity in Jansan. Our growth rates did come down a little bit in the second quarter, but as we look to really drive profitable growth with the common platform implementation and a focus on the key resellers in that channel, you know, we have a relatively small share of wallet in the Jansan category today. And as the common platform comes online and, you know, we move to strategic relationships, we see opportunities for growth. I'll also tell you, you know, I'm focused on profitable sales growth. And so to the extent that we have sales today that aren't profitable, we're going to continue to work to flex those out of the system to make certain we're returning an investment on capital across our portfolio. And a little bit of what you saw in the quarter in Jansan was, you know, a result of that kind of work.
Great. Thank you.
And our next question is a follow-up from Dan Binder of Jefferies. Please go ahead. Mr. Binder, your line is open, sir.
Hi, I just wanted to follow up on a couple of your formal remarks. You had noted possibly having to take more aggressive action in industrial, I guess, depending on the trends. I was just curious if you could expand a little bit on that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Dan. You know, we saw the downturn in energy, and as we talked about last quarter, about a quarter of our business is focused on energy, and, you know, that business is down 55 to 60%. We haven't really seen any moderation in those declines. But, you know, since we last updated you, we've also seen this softening in the general industrial space. And that has an impact on our ORS business as well. You know, ORS is a standalone business today, so the deleveraging when you have sales declines is significant. And so when we look forward, we say, how can we make this a stronger business, also make certain, you know, that we have the business size to the revenue opportunity today? How can we redeploy selling resources into areas of industrial that are growing? So an example of that would be safety outside of the oil patch where we see opportunity. But, you know, because it's a little bit hard to predict where industrial is going overall right now, we want to stay focused on matching our capabilities, our costs to the market potential. And, you know, we're determined to do that, and we'll stay focused on it in the quarters ahead.
And just staying on industrial for a moment, you mentioned the possibility or the review of moving that to the common platform. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of what kind of helps you make that decision? Is it resources? Is it economics? What's going to really drive that decision?
Yeah, I would say as a starting point, you know, we're moving into the physical implementation phase of the common platform in our business and facilities business today. So we're very focused. We want to make certain we execute that well because, you know, it drives a lot of benefit for us going forward and it will create a better customer experience. But as we start to move through that implementation phase, we will want to look to see what the opportunity is to extend the common platform into our industrial business. And it really starts with the question of how do we go to market and who are the customers that we serve in industrial, and do the capabilities of the common platform serve well that go-to-market strategy and those customer segments. And, you know, that's an analysis we did for Janssen and then built the capabilities that we needed. So that's an important assessment. And from there, then we can see what's the market opportunity, what are the costs associated with it, what resources are required. And then if it looks like it's the right thing to do for the business and for our customers, then it becomes a question of how you sequence and resource and pay for the work that has to be done. But we really have to do two things before we can get to that third stage, which is get some implementation under our belt in the work we're doing now, and then understand the opportunity that a common platform in industrial creates for us.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you saw the Home Depot acquisition yesterday of Interline, but had a chance to look at their presentation, and looks like they're selling a lot of Janssen, office, and then obviously industrial. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's what we typically would find in your customer base, but it would seem to make a lot of sense if the distributors are moving in that direction.
Yeah, I think it's such a great example, Dan, of this blurring of the channels that's going on. You know, that's one trend we see. The other is we believe that the Janssen category will consolidate in much the same way that the office products category will consolidate, and that, you know, there will be scale players that are built. You know, you look at the big box national retailers today, they're making big moves into the Janssen sector. You now see Home Depot doing the same. You know, we really went forward with the common platform with an expectation that we would see that sort of consolidation and think we're well positioned for it.
Right. And one last, if I could, for you, Todd. In your formal remarks, you talked about modest EPS growth in the back half, but that does require overcoming some big headwinds in the energy side or where you have exposure on the energy side. I just wanted to make sure I understood what is in that forecast. Is it more of what we just saw in Q2? Is it a worsening trend in industrial and energy? Is it assuming some rebound? What's in that number exactly?
Yeah, Dan, we don't assume any rebound in the industrial space in the back half of the year. I mean, we could be surprised, but our outlook is that it could potentially get tougher and that we'll need to overcome that in order to lap the prior year with positive results. As we've noted before, our goal is to get to flat to slightly improved EPS for the full year, which would obviously require us to be at least 7 cents up in the back half to get to flat. And our outlook is we're teams focused on doing that. The challenge is we don't know what will happen in the industrial sector and how prevalent those headwinds may be.
And have you identified the things that would help you overcome those headwinds? Are they tangible?
They are. We have a list both internal and as Bob talked about, driving profitable growth is one element we continue to focus on, but also the internal cost elements, the steps we can take to mitigate the headwinds we may see.
Great. Thank you.
And our next question comes from David Fondry of Heartland. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. And I also offer my congratulations to Bob. I'm curious, as you look at the businesses strategically, just had a brief discussion about Janssen and the blurring of the lines and more competition there. As you look out, would you be more inclined to do acquisitions in the niche markets, whether that's auto or industrial sectors, even though currently they're under some pressure? Or would you be more inclined to continue to expand in the office products and the Janssen area?
You know, first of all, good morning, David, and nice to meet you. I would say that our focus to date has been primarily on using acquisitions as an opportunity to diversify across a broader range of products into higher growth and higher margin categories, and that will remain our fundamental focus. But, you know, we do believe that our business and facilities categories are places where we can continue to win as well. And so if there were opportunities that were highly accretive for us, you know, I wouldn't rule that off the table, but it isn't the primary focus that we bring as we look at acquisitions as an opportunity today.
And would you, Bob, would you consider the competition or more difficult in that Janssen area or in the other areas? And maybe you could describe who you view as your competitors in Janssen.
Yeah, I mean, Janssen is such a fragmented category today, which is why you see these actions around consolidation. And, you know, frankly, our share of wallet with our resellers in Janssen is much lower than it is in office products today. And what we expect to see is consolidation among the reseller base. And as that happens, there's an opportunity for us to form more strategic relationships, for us to bring our value proposition around stockless supply, around digital content, around, you know, multiple channels on the common platform. All of those will become more relevant in Janssen as that reseller consolidation occurs. As reseller consolidation occurs, you know, you often see consolidation throughout the supply chain as well, among manufacturers and among those that are serving the resellers. And so it will be a dynamic marketplace, and for a scale player like us, that creates opportunity.
Great. Thank you.
And thank you. This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Bob Aiken for any closing remarks.
Great. Thank you very much, Rocco. You know, it was a pleasure to join you all for the call this morning, and I hope as you have the clear sense, I'm confident that the strategies we have in place today are going to drive Ascendant's future. But as with all effective strategies, we'll continue to shape and evolve them to meet the needs of a changing, and as we've seen in industrial, sometimes a challenging marketplace. At Ascendant, we do have a great team, and we're focused on driving value for our customers, sustained profitable growth, that's something you'll hear more about from us, and value for our shareholders. The last couple of months, I have really enjoyed getting to know so many of our customers, our suppliers, and associates across the country. And in the months ahead, I look forward to meeting and working with you, many of you in the investor community, and getting to know you and having a chance to share the story of Ascendant firsthand. So we appreciate your continued support for Ascendant, your time and interest in the call today, and we look forward to sharing our progress with you in coming quarters as well. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
And thank you, sir. Today's conference has now concluded, and we thank you all for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines.